The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The heart of a winning father. I just want to talk to you this morning about being a winner and how important it is to win as a father. You know, we all want to be winners, particularly men. We have this drive about us to be a winner and be perceived as a winner. We want our kids to think that we are a winner. We want our wives to think that we're a winner. We want our peers to think that we are a winner. But what constitutes being a winner? Sometimes I think we get that a little out of sorts. What we think being a winner is all about is not necessarily winning when it comes to the kingdom of God. Being a winning father is extremely important in the kingdom of God. Now, I'd like to share a few things with you this morning that I learned from my dad when I was growing up. And some of these things I think you can probably all relate to. When I was growing up, I learned from my dad that when he was my age, kids had to walk 6 miles to school in the snow, in the rain, uphill both ways. Did any of you learn that? Yeah, okay. If he had acted like me, his father would have knocked him into the middle of next week. That's probably true. When he was my age, kids had to make their own fun. One of the most important things I learned from my dad was that I wasn't born in a barn. Yeah. Any of you learn that? When he was my age, he had to work for what he got. And the one thing I learned that I didn't want, my brother and I, when we were in the back seat, we didn't want him have to make dad stop that car. We learned that lesson. And I learned that because he said so was reason enough. And I've taught my children that same thing. Also, I learned that I'd better stop crying or he was going to give me something to cry for. Amen. I learned that I would lose my head if it wasn't attached. Amen. And the last thing, and probably most important, that money does not grow on trees. Those are good things that we learn from our parents, huh? A father had five children with him, and he was at a raffle, and he won a toy. And he didn't know what to do. You know, five children, what am I going to do with this one toy? So he came up with a strategy, and he said to the children, I'm going to let you choose who gets this toy. So he said to the children, he said, okay, all of you, listen to what I have to say, because you're all going to choose who listens to their mother the best. Who listens to what she says? Who never backtalks her? Who does exactly what she tells them to do? And they all were quiet for a minute, and then in unison, they all said, okay, Dad, you can have the toy. Amen. Okay, our children know us better than we know ourselves sometimes. Amen. All right, now I know, women, that you don't like the fact sometimes that we men like competition. We like to compete with each other. We like, you know, it's just part of our makeup. And it's not something, and you got to get the handle on this, women. You got to understand this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Now, we don't, you know, if you are a person that, a man that has to win at everything he does, you are messed up. I just want to let you know that. You're absolutely. Because it's not about always winning. One of the things we're going to find out this morning is it's about how much effort you put into it and you trying your best. But men just have to compete, man. When we get together and we play cornhole, we're competing with each other. When Randy and I play basketball and we're on opposite teams, we're competing with each other. You know, I want to block his shot, and he wants to do the same with me. He wants to stop me, and I want to stop him. But we do it in a friendly, godly way most of the time. Okay. Once in a while, Randy gets out of control. I've got the platform. I can say anything I want. Amen. All right. So we just need to look at this and understand how important it is and how healthy it is for men to compete with each other. It's okay to have competition. It's, in fact, I think it would be unhealthy if a man didn't want to compete, because it's just something about the way God has created us. It's in us. And it means that there's something about competing well, and particularly sometimes, you know, knowing that when we compete well, we're going to win often, that it builds up our self-esteem. There's something about that. In fact, you know, one of the songs that we sang this morning is, "I Know Who I Am." That's important, man. Important that we know who we are. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this: "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As you think about yourself, that's who you are. And that's why you need to know who you are in Christ. Because when you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what anyone else says about you. It doesn't matter how the world treats you. It doesn't matter what your boss says. It doesn't matter even sometimes what your wife might say to you. If you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you will be a winner. There's no doubt about it. I believe that. Now, one of the things that I think is very important is that when we have a knowledge of who we are, that and we understand that we're doing what we're doing to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, that we understand where this where we begin with this and where it ends. I've learned that when I, as a pastor of Bethel Worship Center, that I am a winner. Now, I mentioned that Randy and I play basketball, when we play basketball, I feel like I'm a winner. Not because I win every time. You know, sometimes we go, I play on Tuesday nights, and sometimes we play four or five games, and I win none. Zero. But I can still walk away from that place feeling like I'm a winner. It's because I have applied the knowledge that I have, that I've been given through wise coaches. I use the talent and the abilities that God gave me. I use my experience, and I did my utmost. I did my best. And in spite of the fact that sometimes when I lose to Randy, he goes around like this, loser, trying to make me feel bad. We have that kind of relationship. It's okay that he does that. Don't want anybody to try to stone him. In spite of what someone else thinks, I still feel that I'm a winner. I feel that I'm a winner here at Bethel Worship Center. Not because I have the biggest church, not because we're on television or on radio all over the place or anything else, nothing external. I feel that I'm a winner because I'm doing what God called me to do with the best of my ability. And that's what I want you to feel like as a father. It's not that you're not going to make mistakes, because you're going to make a bunch of them. And you've probably already made a whole bunch of them. But it's that you understand, that you take. I'm going to give you a formula this morning. Let me give you this formula. This formula is this: knowledge plus experience plus talent and gifts plus maximum effort equals success. Not winning all the time. This is what equals success. The great coach John Wooten said this in his book, Pyramid of Success. Success is the peace of mind which is the direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. I love that definition, because it's not about always winning. It's about always doing your best and giving your best. So, fathers and grandfathers, today, I want you to get this formula. I want you to understand it. I want to share it with you. And I want to walk through it with you as we talk about being a winning father. In Proverbs chapter 22, 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I want you to understand, that does not mean that your children will not have a will of their own and make decisions for themselves that sometimes you do not agree with. However, it does mean that if you do your job, the rest is between them and God. And if you do your job and you train them up according to the ways of the Lord, they'll remember that all their life. They may not always do it, but they will remember it. They will know what is right and what is wrong. That's why it's so important, fathers, that we get a handle on our position in life as a leader, as the head of the household, as someone that our children look up to. Be that person that your child looks at as a hero. It's not really that hard, I want you to know that, particularly when they're young. They naturally look to their father as their hero. That's just the way God created us. All right. I do want to point out this, that some astute person noticed that in the dictionary, the father, the word father, is smack dab in the middle of fathead and fatigue. Not exactly sure what that means, but there it is. So let's look at the first thing that we believe is the part of the formula for a winning father. And that, number one, is knowledge. Proverbs 15:14 says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Now, this scripture tells us something extremely important, that if you are a person of understanding, you're going to seek knowledge. And knowledge comes from something that you can acquire. It's something that you can get. It's something that you can go after. Wisdom, for the most part, is God-given. God said, pray. If you lack wisdom, pray, and God will give it to you. But knowledge, on the other hand, is something that each and every one of us can acquire. That means that we have to put forth a little bit of effort in this thing. Henry Adams, 19th century American statesman, said, they know enough who know how to learn. Fathers, we need to be wise enough to learn, and there is no better place to learn than from the Word of God. You will learn to be a winning father from the Word of God. Proverbs 2:6 says this, for the Lord giveth wisdom, but out of his mouth. You see, the Lord gives wisdom, but out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He speaks it, and it's written in his word, what we call the Bible. It's his holy word. It's his absolute word. It's his word that we can trust. That's why, fathers, it's so important that you get into his word and know what his word says. Because if you know what his word says, you will have the knowledge to be the winning father God wants you to be. A winner in the eyes of your children, a winner in the eyes of your spouse, a winner in the eyes of your peers, a winner in the eyes of society. Even though they may condemn our Christianity, they cannot deny the fact that a winning father is someone who ministers to his family and stands by them. And I'm sorry that they think that this The principles that are being espoused today in our society about all kinds of things regarding marriage and the kind of principles and teachings that are being taught through media and all kinds of different outlets that are teaching men that they do not have to be the head of the household and should not lead. Teaching women that they have different responsibilities than God has told them to have. I'm not saying that a woman cannot do anything she wants to do. I'm saying God has placed an order in things. God has placed the man as the head of the household, not as a tyrant, not as someone who is going to beat up his family and make them do what he wants them to do, but as a man who is a servant who will serve his spouse and his family. What woman would not want to submit to that? I believe this is what God wants. Anything you need to know about being a winning father can be found in the Word of God. However, one thing that I found out when I was a young Christian with young children is there's a lot of godly men and women out there with wisdom, and they put it in books. And there's wonderful books out there that you can read, and you can acquire knowledge about how to deal with your children. Not only deal with your children, but also deal with your spouse. Deal with your wife properly. Do things that are of God, that will speak volumes of love into their life. So I want to just recommend that some of you men, you recognize I want you to recognize the importance of not only reading the Word of God, but also get some books. I want to just recommend a couple. Boundaries with Kids by Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend. Just helps you understand and set up boundaries with your children. How many know boundaries are very important? How many know that we have very few boundaries in our society today? Let's set up some boundaries. Here's one. It's an old one, but it's a good one. Dr. James Dobson, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. How many of you know that are parents? You know that you better not be a coward if you're a parent. You know what a coward says to their children? I'm your friend. I know you don't want to hear that. But a coward says to their children, I'm your friend, and I'm not going to do anything that'll wreck that friendship. So you do whatever you want to do, and we'll just be friends for life. I'm going to tell you what happens. When they get old enough to recognize what you've said to them and the way you've treated them, they're not going to be your friend any longer. Because they're going to know that the only kind of parent that is worth being respected is one that's courageous enough to set boundaries and say no when they need to say no. Hallelujah. All right, I don't want to be too harsh with you this morning. This is supposed to be a fun day for parents, right? For fathers. Now, some of you guys are going to say, well, Pastor, I don't read. Nonsense. I want you to be honest with yourself and honest with me. You guys, if you like something, you will read about it. If you're a golfer, you'll read about golfing. If you are into sport, any other sport, basketball, baseball, you read about it. You will find out as much knowledge as you can possibly find out about that because you're into that. If you like politics, you read to find out what's going on. Do not tell me you're not a reader. You're not a reader of things that you don't want to read. That's what you are. But if you really want to know something, you'll pick up a book or you'll pick up a magazine, you'll pick up a paper, and you'll read about it. I'm telling you how important this is this morning. Read to increase your knowledge about being a good parent. Otherwise, you're going to look back in your life and you're going to say, why didn't I do this or why didn't I do that? It was because you were ignorant at the time. You don't have to be ignorant. There's lots of knowledge out there for you. As a believer, listen, knowledge is extremely, extremely important. Get as much of it as you can. There are people who catch animals for zoos in Africa, find that the ring-tailed monkey is one of the most difficult monkeys to catch. It's very elusive and very easy. You know, it just swings through the trees, and they're really hard for them to catch them. But the Zulus in Africa have a system. They have a knowledge of these monkeys, and they know what these monkeys like. And these monkeys like seeds from a certain melon. So they take this melon and they tie it up, and they carve out a little hole just big enough for that monkey to put his hand in, open. And when that monkey gets in there and he gets the seeds, closes his fist, he can't get his hand back out. And the Zulus come along, and that monkey loves those seeds. He's not about to let go of those seeds. And they just grab the monkey and go on because they have a knowledge of what it takes to catch that monkey. You need the knowledge of what it takes to be a winning father. You will get that from the Word of God, and you will get that from godly people who will speak into your life and godly authors that are trying to help the body of Christ. Most of these people who write books, they're not writing books to become famous. If you get the right ones, you got to know who you're dealing with. They're doing it. Dr. James Dobson in particular, his purpose has always been to help the body of Christ. I truly believe that. And these other people that I mentioned this morning, that's their purpose. Not so that everyone will know who they are, but so the body of Christ can grow and mature and become what God wants it to become. Next thing. Experience. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. You have to train it. You have to use real life experiences to train your children on a regular basis. You know what that means, fathers? That means you have to spend time with your children. You must spend time with your children. A couple of generations ago, we would say to our parents would say to their children, "Do as I say, not as I do." That doesn't work. We know that. Your children learn more from you by watching you and watching what you do than they do from your words. And God has been trying to tell His people this for thousands of years. In fact, He had Moses write it in the book of Deuteronomy. He said this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt do what? Teach them diligently unto thy children, that thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up, when you, wherever you are, you've got to take the time to be with your children. When you lay down at night, take some time to pray with them, to teach them, to read them Bible stories. Instill within them godly principles. Take them wherever you go." I know this is a busy, busy world that we live in. And we're going here and there and to and fro and all over the place. But unless you instill these principles in the lives of your children, Nickelodeon is going to instill the principles that they have in your children. And it's going to destroy them. It's destroying our society. Do you know that Nickelodeon said that one of the things they bragged about is that they own the children of America? They own them. And if you watched any of those programs that they have on there, you'll find out that you don't want them to own your children. They're not all good. Most of them are not good. Even cartoons that teach certain things. Things that we do not believe in as believers in Jesus Christ. Be careful. And Father, I'm telling you, you have the responsibility. Don't lay it on your wife. It's your responsibility to know what your children are watching, what your children are being taught. And if you'll spend time with your children, you'll hear what they've been learning. They'll let you know. So it's very important, wherever we go, whatever we do, that we take time to instill godly Christian principles in our children. Just, you know, going fishing yesterday, I spent time with Marshall. We were trying to catch some fish, but we talked about how God created the earth, how God created the fish, how God, you know, the water is their home. And we talked about these things. And I made sure that he understood that this was a God creation, not an evolutionary happening. Amen. And when he hears that at his age from his papaw, I don't care how many bug-eyed scientists tell him that he evolved, he's going to say, "My papaw said."
That's right. Oh, hallelujah.
I want you to know how powerful that is. And how powerful it is. He's going to say, oh, my daddy said.
That's right.
This is important. This is very important. So have the Word of God in your heart. Teach it to your children. Take opportunities. One young son said to his dad, Dad, did your dad make you go to church when you were my age? And his dad just beamed and said, yes, sir, son, my dad made me go to church when I was your age. And his son just shook his head and he said, I'll bet it won't help me either. Think about it. If that's what your children think, there's something terribly wrong. Yes. Let's see how, I just want you to see how important it is, the things you do. One way that my dad trained his children by experience was by allowing us to see the way that he loved my mother. There was absolutely no doubt in our mind that he loved her. You know, and men, one of the things that we've got to do is we've got to make sure that our children see us loving our wife. Do special things for them. Be romantic. Maybe you say, I'm not the romantic type. Well, you're a fool.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure you understand. A woman needs romance. Now, you know, one of the things that I found out about my wife, she is very wonderful, but she is very simple as well. I don't mean stupid. Please don't. I mean, I'm standing in the wrong place. I mean, she just likes the simple life. And one of the things that is very easy for me is I can be romantic with her by buying her a candy bar and not eating it. Right. Right. I don't know if all of you heard that story, but I bought two and ate both of them. That wasn't good. That was stupid. That was foolish. That was ignorant. All right. Yes. Beat myself up for that one. But I learned a valuable lesson. Yep. Don't eat Tammy's candy bar. Amen. Just buying her a candy bar, writing a little note saying, I love you. Texting her. I love you. I miss you. When she was in Texas, I miss you. You know how much that means to her? It's simple. It was easy. I didn't have to spend any money. But if you have to spend money, spend money. That's right. Do whatever it takes. It's that important. Hallelujah. Sorry, Otis. Well, whoo, here we go. We are going to take up an offering for Pastor Otis. Hallelujah. All right. Man, one woman said that her husband's idea of romance was taking her out to McDonald's and belching the Barney song afterwards. Ooh, isn't that horrible? And this was real. Listen, man, I hope you have a better idea of what romance is than that. We have to recognize the importance of being romantic with our wife and setting that example for our children. You know, being the kind of example that God wants us to be to our children. They will learn. They will learn how to treat that young lady when they go out on their first date by the way you set the example. They will learn respect. They will learn honor toward their mother. Listen, I have deep respect for my mother, but my dad instilled that in me. One of the things that I knew when I was growing up, that if I ever crossed my mother, if I ever did something stupid toward my mother, that I would probably wake up the next year from my dad. And he never, ever threatened me. I want you to understand, it wasn't because he threatened me. It was just a given. My dad loved my mom that much that I could see it and I understood that I didn't say anything or do anything that would hurt that woman. It's good stuff. I hope you realize how anointed this message is this morning. This is not Pastor Rob. This is God speaking to you. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Colossians 3:19. That's important. All right. Let's go on. Many families have problems also in their family because they put more emphasis on their children than they do on their relationship with one another. So I just want to caution you again about that. Your spouse is supposed to be number one in your life, not your children. And we have developed in our society a system where the children have become the ultimate focus and prize. That we take our children and we do everything we can possibly do. We run here and there and take them all over the place, do all kinds of things with them. And at the same time, we're wearing ourselves out and we don't have time for our spouse and our relationships. And it's killing the nation that we live in. Do not allow that to happen in your relationship. Recognize how important it is. Make your spouse number one, husband and wife. Know how important it is to make them feel. Make your husband feel like he's the king. Today is a great opportunity. Father's Day. Make him feel like he's the king. And husbands, make your wife feel like she's the queen. It'll make life a whole lot easier. Amen. Because when mama's happy, everybody can be happy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, sometimes my dad let us boys get away with things that we probably should not have, just because that was his nature. You know, he just kind of set back and let things happen until they got to a certain point. But I can tell you this, my mom picked up the slack where he let off. We never really got away with too many things. When she found out about it, that Hot Wheels track came out, and man, that put us on the straight and narrow track after that. I want to tell you something. When I was a young child, my dad was my hero. I couldn't wait for him to come home from work. I'd run down to him. We lived on a hill, and I'd run down as far as I was allowed to, and I'd get on his feet. He'd have his work boots on, and I'd get on his feet, and he'd walk all the way to the house with me up a hill. When I became a little older, he was a friend. He was a good disciplinarian. He tried to keep us straight, but he was a friend. When I became a teenager, at times, he became my adversary. But you know, when I became a young man and began to realize some things in my life, he once again became a friend. Because I realized he was speaking good things into my life. And today, I can tell you, I wish that he was here so that I could say to him, "You're my hero." That's the kind of legacy we want to leave. Right? Third thing is talent and gifts. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Teaching your children to love God. Teaching your children to love people and care about people and be willing to help people. When I was growing up, my dad didn't have a whole lot when he was growing up, but he made the best of what he had. He used his talents and his gifts to make a good life for his family. And he used his talents and gifts to minister to other people. He was a mechanic by trade. He was a millwright. But he could do just about anything. He worked with his hands. He was not a perfect man. I don't want to try to make anybody think that he was. He struggled most of his life with anger issues. Not that he got angry at his family, but he would just, it was just like when he was out working on something, he'd just get angry. And, you know, many times I would witness him working with something and he would, working with a wrench and something would slip off and he would get upset and that confounded wrench and he'd throw that thing down. But with God's help, the Holy Spirit's help, he was able to manage that most of his life. And because of that, he passed on to us boys, rather than passing on those anger issues, he passed on a legacy of allowing the Spirit of God to help us. But I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I thought a confounded wrench was a special kind of wrench, you know, like a... like a monkey wrench or something, you know, for a long time. You see, we pick up on all kinds of things from our parents. And dads, be careful. Be very careful. But I can tell you this. My dad, if a neighbor needed something, he was there helping them. If he could help, if he saw somebody along the road, he would stop and help them out. If people were in need, he'd give them himself, his time and his talents. He truly set an example of what loving your neighbor was all about. I picked up this thing from John Maxwell, and it starts out, do it anyway. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. But be honest and frank anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for the underdog anyway. What you spend your years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People that really need help often attack you if you help them. Help anyway. Give the world the best you've got, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give your best anyway. No matter how much you love people, some will hate you. Love them anyway. I think that's exactly how we need to live our life. That's what Jesus was talking about, loving your neighbor. Because your neighbors, all your neighbors, are not going to be good people. They're not going to be friendly people. They're not going to be godly people. Love them anyway. Number four, maximum effort. Mark 10:14, and whatsoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. My formula for success means nothing unless you are willing to give a maximum effort toward becoming a winning father. Let's read John Wooden's definition of success again. Success is the peace of mind which is the direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. Knowledge plus experience plus talent and gifts plus maximum effort equals success. Stats show that when mothers are the spiritual leaders of their household, children serve God 17 to 20% of the time. When the father is the spiritual head of the household, that number increases dramatically. It increases to 75% of the time children serve the Lord. Father, your example, your position, your calling as head of the household is vitally important. Rise up. Be the man that God has called you to be. Take it seriously. Get the knowledge. Understand what it means to be a leader. Do what God has called you to do. Do these things that are so important in your life. Experience life together with your children. Use your gifts and talents. And use the maximum effort you can to be the man that God has called you to be. It is extremely important that we as parents take our responsibility very serious. Studies show on an average, American parents spent less than 15 minutes a week in serious discussion with their children. For fathers, the amount of intimate contact with their children is an average of 17 seconds a day. We're missing it. Now, I'm telling you these things because I want to shake you up a little bit. I want you to see the importance of spending time with your children. Men, God has established you as the head of your household to lead by example and spend time with your children, to be the head servant by first serving your wife and then serving your children, then serving others. When I was growing up, my friends would talk about how mean their dad was. I couldn't relate to it. I had a hard time understanding that because, you see, my father was not like that. He was a godly man who loved his children and made huge sacrifices for us every day of his life. He worked hard and he worked many hours. Sometimes we didn't get to see him as often as we wanted to, but it was because he was trying to provide for his family. And when we did, he nurtured that relationship with us. A study of 39 teenage girls suffering from anorexia nervosa showed that 36 of them had one common denominator: lack of closeness with their father. An emotional or physically absent father contributes to a child's low motivation for achievement, inability to defer immediate gratification for later rewards, low self-esteem, susceptibility to group influence, and juvenile delinquency. Fathers, I want you to notice, it doesn't say just because the father is out of the household, it's if he's emotionally detached from his family. We've got to be emotionally attached to them. Amen. Fathers, you're responsible. You are the ministers of your household. You are the priest, the king of your household. You have a huge responsibility that God has called you to. God wants you to rise up and recognize the importance of this calling. God wants you to be the man he created you to be. Stand with me. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.